This is the Annie Fry Show.
Have you guys been following a lot of this Arlington Cemetery drama around President Trump?
Just enough, and only because I've had to.
So, are any of these four clips that you have here, like any of them that are good at setting the tone? I can read
No.
The Fox News report here says that the U.S. Army says a staff member was abruptly pushed aside during a ceremony attended by former President Trump and his campaign during a Monday ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery, but that the campaign member will not face charges. The incident took place at a ceremony honoring the 13 U.S. soldiers who were killed in an attack on the Kabul airport during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021. The Army confirmed reports of an altercation between at least one Trump campaign official and a cemetery staff member. The Army said in a statement, participants in the August 26 ceremony and the subsequent Section 60 visit were made aware of federal laws, Army regulations, and DOD policies, which clearly prohibit political activities on cemetery grounds. And ANC, that's Arlington National Cemetery, employee who attempted to ensure adherence to these rules was abruptly pushed aside. They went on to say, consistent with the decorum expected at Arlington National Cemetery, this employee acted with professionalism and avoided further disruption. The incident was reported to the JBMHH Police Department, but the employee subsequently decided not to press charges. Therefore, the Army considers this matter closed. They went on to say the incident was unfortunate, and it is also unfortunate that the Arlington National Cemetery employee and her professionalism has been unfairly attacked. Arlington National Cemetery is a national shrine to the honored dead of the armed forces, and its dedicated staff will continue to ensure public ceremonies are conducted with the dignity and respect the nation's fallen deserved. The cemetery has a longstanding federal ban on the use of property by any political campaigns, and cemetery staff had warned that campaign staff could not use the event to take photos or video. This is exactly the question at hand with the Jack Smith indictment. He is a candidate, but he is also a former president. And, you know, I know that this sounds political and there's no way for me to talk my way out of this not being a political statement. But where is the president of the United States? Where's the vice president? There all the time. If the president is in the middle of doing something, you send the vice president, you send somebody, you send Jill. But you own the representation of being president, something like that, because it's the right thing to do, not because it's a good political move. And if these individuals wanted Donald Trump to be at Arlington National Cemetery, he is a former president. He is a former commander in chief. And that means something. I mean, if you go to the Jack Smith indictment, he essentially took the indictments, stripped out some individuals that were connected to Donald Trump due to his presidential duties and referred to him not as president, but as candidate, to try to make it so that it was Donald Trump acting as a candidate, not as the president in the election interference stuff. And that's kind of the basic way with which Jack Smith reframed this indictment. So, in this instance, if I'm one of these family members of these 13 that have been lost, and the man who made the decision that resulted in the death of my loved one is nowhere to be found. Well, you can find him on a beach. Depends on the time of the day. Nowhere to be found. The vice president, who was very, very boastful about being the last person in the room when these decisions were being made. The first lady. None of them are available to be there. Donald Trump being there, I mean, basically what we're establishing here is that their death is only a political event. And that we can't talk about, acknowledge, remember, memorialize men and women who signed up knowing that they could give all when they signed their name on that line. That in this instance, their death cannot be talked about, cannot be highlighted, cannot be discussed because we're in the middle of an election. Which is ironic because you can also indict a president once again on a reframed nonsense version of something that has already been pretty much given the boot because of the Supreme Court's ruling on presidential immunity. That if you just reframe it, you can take him and not make him the president. You can make him a candidate. And that's what they're doing to him, it seems to me, at Arlington Cemetery. Is they're trying to, if these people want to take a photograph with the president of the United States in Arlington National Cemetery, you can 100% say, well, that's a political photo op. I understand that. But you can't strip it from also being the commander-in-chief who's in Arlington National Cemetery with the family of those who have been entombed there. He is also that. And I know that hurts some people, but it's just the truth. That's kind of where this feels like it's going, which means it will be a perpetual argument. The left will say, he was campaigning in Arlington. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And the right will say, he was being presidential because the guy who's got the job and the woman who wants it are nowhere to be found because it's politically disadvantageous for them to be there. You want to talk about campaigning? Their absence was a campaign mm-hmm. move.
When I saw this was still a headline today, because one day, you know, anything Trump does, that if he steps on the 3-point line while he's shooting, they're going to be like, well, that was a 2-point. And, you know, it doesn't matter. They're going to point it out. So the day of, I thought, okay, it's another, Trump's an idiot story. Now we're 2 days, 3 days removed from this or whatever it is, and they're still saying, oh, this is a scandal. I'm looking at this going, this is actually a pretty good day for Donald Trump if this is the scandal that's happening, because Americans see this story, if they're paying attention to this at all.
This is good.
If you see this and you think this is what they're hammering him on, you are rolling your eyes at the media at this point.
Slow clap for Donald Trump for actually getting liberals to talk about the 13 that were mm-hmm. dead at Abbey Gate. Congratulations,
yeah.
Donald Trump. You managed to get the lefties to acknowledge that the lives of these individuals mattered. Good for you. I mean, if you here's MSNBC. Ooh, we got him. We got him. We got Donald Trump on something. It's Arlington National Cemetery. It's the perfect setting to really, really hammer in the point that Donald Trump is evil, talking to one of the Gold Star moms that was part of this situation. Can you turn it up here?
Anti-Trump, whatever. What would you say to people who may be pro-Trump, anti-Trump, whatever their politics might be, who just feel like that's not a place for politicians or for politics?
I would have to say, are you in my shoes? I invited him. My son was murdered.
There you have it. Gold Star Mom on MSNBC with this haughty reporter going, you know, let's talk about the people. You know, you can like Donald Trump and still see that this is wrong. People can see that. Gold Star Mom, Kelly Hoover, what would you say to those people? And her response is, I invited him. My son was murdered.
Gosh.
Like, mic drop. In fact, take the microphone off and throw it at the camera that you're talking to when you're asked that question. They want... This is the same thing as Jack Smith indicting Donald Trump on election interference during a campaign so he can interfere with an election. Like, we're... It is inception. I can't figure this out. I don't understand how... You can be so blatantly hypocritical, except for the fact, go back to my conversation with Hans von Spakovsky, where we're talking about the First Amendment, and one of the key parts of that is a free press that's supposed to be invested in finding truth for the American people, and the benefit of exposing truth, no matter who is on the other end of that truth, if it's a bipartisan problem, maybe a tripartisan problem for people if they're on the wrong side of truth, but truth is truth. Abject truth is what we need to seek, and we don't anymore. And when we don't, we get people who get on their high elite horse trying to show you, once again, let's show you how bad Donald Trump is. He's so bad that he'd show up to mourn the loss lives of those people who died in Afghanistan when Joe Biden... I don't see your point.
It's really remarkable mm-hmm. that this is still a story, because it's such an obvious, stupid story to run with. If you're trying to smear Donald Trump, this is one of the worst ways you could possibly do it. because of just what you just said, Annie, the articles I've read this morning on this topic, and again, I'm only reading them because they're still there. If this should have gone away day one, let the media do their thing, and then it goes away. But they're still doing this. They had to acknowledge in their reports what Joe Biden / Kamala Harris did in mm-hmm. Afghanistan, mm-hmm. then frame it that what the real crime is, though, is what Donald Trump did in meeting with the families of the lost. That is such an amazing jump that I didn't know if we'd talk about this today, but I was shocked to read it. And that is not happened much anymore because the media cannot shock me much anymore.
Listen, the outrage is because it's a gigantic middle finger to the whole narrative that Donald Trump doesn't like troops, especially since he's the one that showed up. And the Harris and Walls and Biden didn't even respond to any requests. They made that request on August 9th. Will you come to this wreath ceremony? They didn't even respond to it. Donald Trump's like, sure, I'll do it. Donald Trump shows up. Everybody looks like this man cares about the troops. And now, wait, we have to manufacture some sort of outrage because Joe Biden did go to Arlington Cemetery and Joe Biden has made commercials, political commercials with pictures that were taken of him at Arlington. He's done the exact same thing, but they've got to manufacture this outrage because they all look stupid for the suckers and losers hoax. That's what this is all about. We got to make him look bad because he made us look really bad for not showing up.
J.D. Vance talked about the so-called altercation at Arlington.
Could you tell us more about the altercation that happened at the Arlington Cemetery? And two, what does debate prep look like for yourself and for Trump at this time?
Well, I think, first of all, the altercation at Arlington Cemetery is the media creating a story where I really don't think that there is one. There is verifiable evidence. There is verifiable evidence that the campaign was allowed to have a photographer there. They were invited to have a photographer there. There's verifiable evidence that the families of these poor people who had their loved ones die 3 years ago at Abbey Road, Abbey Gate, those 13 Americans, a lot of them were there with the president. They invited him to be there and to support them. That's not an insult to the memories of their loved ones. They wanted Donald Trump there, and thank God that we have a president who stands with our veterans instead of one who runs away from them.
Yeah, I quote Gold Star mom, Kelly Hoover, I invited him. I mean, that's what you need to know. And Kamala Harris's faux outrage.
Kamala Harris is so asleep at the wheel that she won't even do an investigation into what happened, and she wants to yell at Donald Trump because he showed up. She can go to hell.
That was a pretty bold statement from J.D. Vance. And I wonder if he said that and he wished he had those words back because he did hesitate. And my professional experience of when I all of a sudden I think in my head, should I say this? The answer is always no, because there's always time to say it again later if you decide that you should say it, but you can't ever take it back. But this is an issue that really has Americans very, very angry. Thinking back 3 years ago and what took place in Afghanistan, and there was never a time where Joe Biden came out and admitted how much of a drastic failure it was. And let us not forget, in June, at that debate, when Joe Biden so arrogantly and ignorantly said on that stage that he had never lost an American. How is that even possible? The number one thing, if there was a starting point where Kamala Harris was going to start pivoting away a little bit from Joe Biden to define herself or refine herself away from Joe Biden, I would have started at square one with acknowledging these 13 people lost. What a great opportunity for you to depart from Joe Biden on the disaster that was Afghanistan, the lives that we lost in this country because of the stupidity of the commander in chief, and then show that you have the guts to show up and acknowledge first and foremost those who were lost. This is an easy one. When they say Vice President Harris, you know, you mentioned that you were the last one in the room and you said you were okay with that. And now you're showing up to acknowledge these lives lost. Have you changed on this issue? Were there mistakes made? And she should say there were absolutely mistakes that were made and that should have been handled in a different way. And in my administration, it will be. I don't want to be in wars. I don't want to be in Afghanistan. The mentality and the thought process behind what we did was right. The execution was wrong. And I take responsibility for my part in it. And having been there and been the second person in charge, the last person in the room with the man in charge, I've seen how these things work. I've been there. I've been a part of these decisions. And I'm strong enough to admit when I was wrong. And I am. It's important to me now, first and foremost, that I acknowledge these lives that were lost in the process. There are a lot of people in this country that would exhale when they heard that, because it'd be the first time that they took responsibility for it ever. And in the last debate that took place with Donald Trump, Joe Biden just completely forgot about him. The thing that the left hates the most, and it's really actually entertaining to see lefties on Twitter and on the internet constantly pop up in the woodwork, thinking that they're going to dunk on this Arlington issue, when the whole thing wouldn't have even been a possibility should Joe Biden shown up and done his job, should Kamala Harris shown up and paid the respects of the lives that were lost on her watch, on his watch. They had other plans. If Donald Trump should have handled himself differently there, I don't think Donald Trump did anything. It's just a campaign staffer, from what I understand. Some people wanted a photo with the president of the United States and the commander in chief. The one who was and could be again. Is he supposed to say no to that? Give me a break. You people are a treat. I could just tell that they're losing.
Yeah.
And they're grasping.
That's what it looks like. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And to lose this way about this issue, to pick on this issue, is why, in my opinion, J.D. Vance probably crossed the line when he said that Kamala Harris can go to hell. I think I didn't want to hear that, but I get where the emotion is coming from. And when we're talking about the campaign that's out there doing the mood campaign, the vibe campaign, the feelings campaign, well, you got some feelings out of J.D. Vance. And I think it's probably, ask a lot of Americans across this country, feelings mutual. Quick break. We'll take let's take some responses to the YouTube live chat poll when we come back. Do you know anyone who may have switched parties when voting for president this election? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can vote in the live chat. You can leave a comment there. But you can also go, a lot of you stream us online on the Odyssey app. When you go to click play at 97.1 FM Talk, there's a little microphone right there. You can leave us your response to that question from clicking that microphone. You can take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Watching the ships rolling.
Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Roll away again. Yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay.
All right, boys, you know I'm always out here to help you.
I'm such a better person after being on the show.
I don't believe that you believe that. I'm just going to tell you right now, that didn't feel genuine, Ryan.
Let me try it again.
Mm-hmm.
Are
you eating? Am I interrupting?
Yeah, I wanted to have a little spaghetti at 2:30.
Did you have spaghetti? Are you eating spaghetti?
No, I'm not eating spaghetti. I took a little cough drop because I'm hoarse. I'm a little hoarse. I'm a pony.
I thought that ponies were baby horses for a long time.
They are.
They are not.
Well, look how much better person I am now after learning that.
I will play this for my husband, and hopefully he provides you the same amount of judgment that he provided me when one of our kids was like, what do you call a baby horse? And I'm like, a pony. And he's like, oh, slow head turn, like, do you know anything, Annie?
Yeah, it's a mare, right? The heifer?
Yes.
I was just throwing farm words out.
It's a bale.
It's a bean planter.
Like a idol?
Fence post.
Grain drill.
You're just saying things you see on a farm. What are you talking about? That's a foal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
See Merrimack Caverns.
I've lost you. He he's gone. Can I help you now? Can you come back?
I need help. That's what I'm saying.
Well, see, well, we're
doing a great job of it. I'm showing you that.
First, before I help you, let's judge you.
Okay.
Seven things. This is for both of you. Seven things highly successful men do before 8 a.m. every day, according to psychology.
I probably do all these, but go ahead.
Seven things. The first one is embrace the silence. Successful men often carve out time for introspection and mindfulness in the tranquil early morning. This isn't just a time to enjoy their coffee in peace. It's a deliberate practice. Moments of solitude have been shown to enhance self-awareness. You skipping out on this one?
No, no. Okay. I'm listening. I was just looking out the door for a second because I was kind of bored. I'm trying to tune you out so I can have some silence.
You know, 8 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
This is during Mark Cox's time, not mine.
Okay.
You're on this show.
Okay.
Where all we do is talk to each other.
Okay.
What did I just say? Moments of solitude have been shown to enhance what?
Personal performance.
Self-awareness.
See? It was real close.
Oh, shush. And provide a mental reset before the day's challenges begin. Do you guys take deliberate, silent, quiet time to yourself before, I'm not going to say 8 a.m. specifically, but like that period of your morning that's the first thing you do?
You go first.
Kind of.
You just want to copy his answers, Kamala.
No, I do not. No text on tips.
I kind of do. I mean, I wake up and
I think this can be prayer.
I was going to say the first thing I do is I get in the shower. So it's not silence, but there's nobody talking to me. It's just the sound of water running.
The problem is that I already knew this tip. And so sometimes I'll wake up and I'll start singing the sound of silence. And I'll realize, oh, no, that's not silent. Then I'll do Scarborough Fair.
So the answer is no.
No.
This is a Holly Burns article on NewTraderU.com. Number two, get moving. You'll rarely find a successful man who doesn't prioritize exercise, especially in the morning. A pre-breakfast workout is a staple in many of their routines. Why? Because physical activity not only boosts physical health, but also improves mental clarity and reduces stress. Morning workout?
Yep, I do it. I run on the treadmill. I grab a couple of barbells. I run. I scream the whole time.
So nope.
No. No, the real answer is I do the treadmill.
You do do?
I do. I do that too.
It's his moment of silent reflection.
That's my moment of silence where I sing.
I don't want to know anymore. I'm taking my headphones off so I can't hear what happens next. But I'm still in the room with you.
The sound of silence.
Silence.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
I think that at the end of this, we'll understand why maybe we aren't as highly successful in this room as men.
So far, I'm 2 for 2. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're all about the number 2. I get it.
Uh-huh. And the number 1.
Number 3, prioritize learning. The most successful men are lifelong learners. They often use the early hours when their minds are fresh to learn something new. This might involve reading a book, listening to a podcast, or catching up on industry news. You read up on the radio industry?
Let's see what they're doing out in Pittsburgh.
This habit stimulates the brain, enhances cognitive abilities, and keeps them informed and inspired. Prioritizing learning. Do you take time to learn in the morning?
No. You?
I am not a man.
Oh, this is just for men. That's right, Brett.
No.
Did you call him Brett?
No, I said Brad.
Sorta.
Brett?
Check the tape. His name is Brad.
Oh, okay. This is news to me. Oh, man, this is embarrassing. I've been calling him Brett for years.
Self-awareness.
I don't do learning. My brain is a fog in the morning.
I don't do learning.
Not in the morning.
I learned something today.
I don't work out in the morning. Mornings are my worst time.
Brad.
I am not a morning person. I don't know how much of this list I'm going to be.
You're not a morning person or a night person, Ryan.
No, I'm a sleep person.
Yeah, that's for sure. But when Ryan decides it's time to go to sleep, he's just gone.
Yeah, you guys saw it on vacation.
Like, where did he go? Ryan was either asleep or in the bathroom.
He pops that mouth guard in, gives it a few turns, and he's gone.
Yep. Well, you would know more than I would. Number four, plan the day. Successful men don't let their days happen to them. They proactively plan them. The morning when the brain is most alert, which we are challenging, I think, in this room, is the ideal time for this. They set clear goals and priorities and visualize how they want their day to unfold. Is this the patriarchy? Are you guys mad at the patriarchy?
I don't know. I'm not mad at the patriarchy. I am the patriarchy.
I don't think you're participating.
No?
I don't think you're patriarchy.
Even after the barbells and the songs and stuff?
That was a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not disqualifying from the patriarchy.
What do you mean by, is this the patriarchy?
Well, I mean, there's just, it seems like there are a lot of things that they're talking about highly successful men doing that you guys don't seem to be really subscribed to.
I do whatever I need to do.
Annie. Do you plan your day before 8 a.m.? Do you have a plan every day? Or most days?
I do because I have to, because I have other people in my life that I have to.
They're counting on you.
Yeah. Yeah, so yes.
I mean, my husband and I usually have to have like a 10-minute conversation daily about how it's going to, like, when it comes time to go to bed tonight, let's talk about all of the things that we have to have accomplished so that we end up with the same kids we started with.
Right, right.
Basically, how that goes. Number five, practice gratitude. Gratitude just isn't a nice sentiment. It's a powerful tool successful men use to maintain a positive mindset. Each morning, they reflect on things they're grateful for and thankful for. This simple practice has been shown to reduce stress, improve well-being, and even boost physical health.
Thank you, first of all.
It's too late.
Then no.
Do you start your day off being grateful? I think that this is something that... anybody could implement intentionally and probably see an actual positive consequence come from intentional gratitude.
Not that every day is perfect, but I will say overall, I am very thankful to God for my life. And therefore, that kind of bleeds over into most things that I do. So I can't say I wake up every morning and I'm just like ready to go. Hey, thankful, you know, pray. I don't have great prayer discipline. My prayer discipline really comes mostly just kind of throughout the day.
Yeah.
But
I understand that.
But it is ever present.
Brad, do you take time to be intentionally grateful?
I wouldn't say I'm intentional about it. I would say I'm generally grateful, but I wouldn't say I'm intentional about it.
Could you see how taking 3 minutes, like even before you get out of bed, to just like think about that? That's something that I say, and like I'm not intentional about the mindfulness stuff because I'm always in my head and I'm up late at night working on things. And when I get up in the morning between 6 and 7 is when I wake up. I don't always get up, but I'm awake between 6 and 7. Everything starts going. Mm-hmm. But to be specific, like to not just wait for the night where you can't fall asleep to be like, maybe I'll try praying and that'll help me fall asleep.
I mean, yes, it's a good discipline. But it's also you got to work it into the practical schedule too, and sometimes that means just waking up a little earlier. But
or even taking like 3 minutes in the shower to be intentionally.
That's actually where I actually pray the most because I get a little time.
Yeah. Do your kids come into the bathroom while you're taking a shower?
They used to. They don't anymore.
Do you miss that?
I would say when my 7-year-old was about 3 and 4,
they just like sit there and
he would come in like in the morning because the other two would go off to school with my wife. He would come into the bathroom and just sort of sit on the floor and just play. And it was just cute.
Yes.
And he just wanted to be close to me.
Do you have shower curtains, doors? What do you have?
Yeah, shower curtains.
So there's a barrier, a solid barrier?
Well, it used to be a clear shower curtain because I'd need to see if he crawled off when he was really little.
Yeah.
But now there's it's translucent now.
I have a shower door and like Molly will just go get a stool and she just sits it right there and she just wants me to throw water on the door. She's like, this is great.
It's cute. It's very cute.
It's hard to turn away because it's not going to happen forever.
It's not going to happen forever, but, and you'll miss it. You will also enjoy when it's not happening anymore.
Yeah. I don't miss my son coming.
Yeah. Like, that's okay.
You stay where you are, buddy. Number six, mindfulness and meditation. In the chaos of the modern world, mindfulness has become a vital skill that many successful men cultivate. Mindfulness practices, including meditation, are often part of their morning routines. These practices help reduce stress, enhance focus, and improve emotional intelligence. I think that kind of like wraps in with other things, mm-hmm. but just being intentional about mindfulness. I don't meditate outside. I'm not a dude, but I don't meditate outside of prayer.
I don't meditate mm-hmm. outside of Twilight Zone. I watch that okay. while I walk on the treadmill and I focus on it. It's really the only time I really focus on watching TV is when I'm on the treadmill.
It's because you're a hostage.
Yes, I am.
It's like the only good thing you got going at that time.
Yeah.
I understand.
All right, fine. Let's watch some TV then because I don't really want to be doing this.
Meditation, mindfulness, Brad?
No, I'm not a meditator.
You'll get in the back of your truck surrounded by birds?
Yeah. No. No, I have not connected with any of these.
Maybe you're not a true man.
Maybe not.
No, he's a man. He's just not successful.
That's right.
Yeah, unsuccessful man.
I forgot what he said.
I mean, I'm usually on the road for work before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that's not success.
Yeah. What are you doing? Going to your job?
Going to your job.
Making money for yourself?
You need to meditate.
Talking to thousands of people every day.
You know, if you would just stay at home and be highly successful at all of these things, taxpayers would just pay for this stuff for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder what highly successful means specifically. We should have asked that first.
Free degrees.
The last one, number seven, maintain a consistent routine. Perhaps the most important habit of a highly successful man is consistency itself. They stick to their morning routines, making these positive practices a non-negotiable part of their daily lives. I don't understand the term non-negotiable with anything that is in my time. My time is constantly being negotiated. But how adherent are you to your routine and flexible in it?
I would say I am highly adherent to it and highly flexible because I do both of those things so well. You know, I do have things that I want to do every day, but things get in the way. And so you just got to go with the flow. That's what a successful man does. Brad, you?
Yeah, I'm going to say what Ryan said. I have a routine. I'm flexible to the routine, but I don't have to really have negotiations on my routine because there's nothing really there to take negotiation away from it. So I'm able to stick to it. But if something comes up that I need to go do, it doesn't like ruin my whole day if I have to do X, Y, or Z first and then back into my routine.
Well, that was, according to Holly Byrne, seven things highly successful men do before 8 a.m. every day. And she says, according to psychology, which sounds like maybe the science.
Well, if the science says it, we better do more of it.
The YouTube live chat poll. Do you know anyone who may switch parties when voting for president? Yes or no? Cole on Rumble said several people I've spoken to at my health club are, surprise, voting with their wallet, and that means Trump. They had mild TDS, but a 3.5 year dose of Biden has cured them. That's an interesting comment. Thor said, maybe with Trump seemingly abandoning the pro-life position, I'm researching and considering the Constitution Party candidate Randall Terry. Just got to start doing some research on Randall.
Oh, no. Don't be a spoiler, Randall Terry.
I don't think he's going to.
Well, just in Illinois, you're fine.
And Christopher said, poll, does it count if I'm switching from Libertarian to Trump? The Libertarian candidate is just terrible this year. Yeah, I think it counts because that's switching your vote.
That counts, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get the results of the poll, but you got to hurry up and get your vote in. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. It's Kamala Harris, Tim Walz interview today, and it's going to be on tonight at 8 o'clock on CNN. You don't need to block out a lot of time, though, for it. Jason Miller, who is at least on X listed as a senior advisor to President Donald J. Trump, he tweets, hearing that CNN will not be releasing the full transcript of all 18 minutes total.
18 minutes?
Of the interview with Kamala Harris and human blocking dummy Coach Walz.
Oh my gosh. She sat down for a full length 18 minute and they're not releasing the transcript. So they could have edited it.
I'm all for it. The stupider it looks, the better.
Well, that I didn't know that though. I thought this was going to be a good hour interview.
This is 18 minutes. This is Jason Miller tweeting that he's heard this. So we could be completely wrong.
Okay.
It could be a full, like, Let's wait and see. But if it's 18 minutes.
Holy smokes.
It's a full hour. It's just the same 18 minutes three times.
And Dana, can you make your questions like really long?
It was probably an hour long and they cut out all the times where she was staring blankly at the ceiling trying to come up with an answer.
Right. No gold on the ceiling,
can we make that a little tighter?
She's kind of checked out here for a good 20, 30 minutes. You might just kind of editing that out.
Kate says on YouTube, Annie, Trump gave longer interviews getting into his helicopter, which is true.
That is true.
We'll wait and see. Maybe it's longer than 18 minutes. Maybe Jason Miller is wrong.
There'll be a CNN fact check tonight. Say, Jason Miller, come on. This thing was at least 19, 20 minutes.
Yeah. But they did slow down. It's just talking like this.
Wait a minute. I think they slowed that interview down.
And then I said, build the wall.
I know they want to increase the child tax credit. We're going to do it by a bigger amount. Tim?
Tim Walz is just going to sit there and smile. Like a goob.
Yeah. Yeah. And clap. It'd be great if he was the studio audience. Yeah! Good answer! Good answer! Like it's Family
Feud.
Good
answer! Good answer!
Good job, Kamala. You answered all the questions.
Brian says, please clap. I don't... Could it be good? Could the interview tonight be good?
No.
Could it be good for her?
No.
Not possible.
I don't think so.
No way?
The best she could do is average. So I can't see how people walk away from this going, wow, she really nailed that.
Yeah, but what is the bar for her? Because if the bar is low and she does average, it's going to look amazing.
I don't know what the bar is. There is no bar. She's done nothing. There's nothing to compare it to. All the stuff she's done is old. This is the first thing she's done.
Yeah, but if bars what she set for herself in those old interviews, eesh.
The thing of it that I am confused about and very intrigued to see what happens is the campaign is to not talk about policy. That's the campaign. Donald Trump, bad. Kamala Harris, joyful. And in an interview, the reason why people want an interview is because they want the deets. They want to know what's going to happen. And she's stepped into that a couple of times, and she really stepped into it when she did it. So she's got, at the same time, communist-like policies and Trump's policies. Where do you go? What are you going to do? Are you going to mix them up? Are you going to draw them out of a hat? How do you do that? I don't know how she's going to manage that, because... it really feels like if she goes hard into the communist thing, socialist thing, that's going to take a lot of Americans off or convince a lot of Americans that what they worried about her, that's actually going to be the case. Or I don't think that she can come out and be like, the border's a huge problem. It should have been closed a long time ago. We didn't do that, or we needed to do a better job of it. So I think we should close the border and build a wall and have a bunch of lefties be like, hooray! I don't think that happens either.
Yeah, that's why she's in the spot that she's in. That's why she's not doing interviews. What she's doing tonight will be 3 days worth of training to say nothing. It'll be platitudes about, you know, the type of campaign they're running, what they're looking forward to, the feelings that they've been getting from voters across America. Let me read you a letter from young Lucy Jenkins. Like, that kind of crap.
A handwritten letter from Tucker.
Yeah. But, I mean, those are the two things that I listed are the two possibilities of what happens, but I'm glad, Scoot, thanks. SVD here says there's one other thing that could possibly happen, and he puts out here, his comment says, and he has at the end of this, in parentheses, sarcasm. So he's saying this sarcastically. Lifting kids out of poverty. That's hilarious. Well, why the hell are they in poverty? Why did you do that 4 years ago? Why didn't you do that when you've been in the administration leading the charge? Why are they in poverty? If you could fix it, why didn't you fix it? So, thank you, Scoot. I did drop the ball, because she is going to have to figure out how she determines What is a Harris presidency and how is it different than a Biden presidency? That would be the first question that I would be asking.
That's why it's going to be so tough.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun day tomorrow. We're going to have like 18 minutes worth of material.
And we're going to make it last for 3 hours.
For 3 hours. Tune in.
The YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you know anyone who may switch parties when voting for president? Ryan, do you?
I do not.
You don't know anybody?
I don't.
Brad?
I haven't talked to anybody about it, so no.
I do. I know somebody who, I know two people who are considering voting for Donald Trump or not voting at all versus their traditional vote for Democrats. With 300 votes in today's YouTube live chat poll, 67% of you said no, but that's interesting that about 100 people say, yeah, they do know people who were voting different. I'm actually pretty encouraged by a 33% number in this poll. Thank you for listening today. Keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk or on the Odyssey app because Mark Reardon takes it from here. I'm not American. But you got to hurry up and get your vote in. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Ooh. Oh, it's Kamala Harris, Tim Walz interview today. And it's going to be on tonight at 8 o'clock on CNN. You don't need to block out a lot of time, though, for it. Jason Miller, who is at least on X listed as a senior advisor to President Donald J. Trump, he tweets, hearing that CNN will not be releasing the full transcript of all 18 minutes total.
18 minutes
of the interview with Kamala Harris and human blocking dummy Coach Walz.
Oh, my gosh. She sat down for a full length 18 minute. And they're not releasing the transcript, so they could have edited it.
I'm all for it. The stupider it looks, the better.
Well, that I didn't know that, though. I thought this was going to be a good hour interview.
This is 18 minutes. This is Jason Miller tweeting that he's heard this, so we could be completely wrong.
Okay.
It could be a full, like, let's wait and see. But if it's 18 minutes.
Holy smokes.
It's a full hour. It's just the same 18 minutes three times.
And Dana, can you make your questions like really long?
It was probably an hour long and they cut out all the times where she was staring blankly at the ceiling trying to come up with an answer.
Right. No gold on the ceiling,
Kamala.
Can
we make that a little tighter?
She's kind of checked out here for a good 20, 30 minutes. You might just kind of editing that out.
Kate says on YouTube, Annie, Trump gave longer interviews getting into his helicopter, which is true.
That is true.
We'll wait and see. Maybe it's longer than 18 minutes. Maybe Jason Miller is wrong.
There'll be a CNN fact check tonight. Say, Jason Miller, come on. This thing was at least 19, 20 minutes.
Yeah. But they did slow down. It's just talking like this.
Wait a minute. I think they slowed that interview down.
And then I said, build the wall.
I know they want to increase the child tax credit. We're going to do it by a bigger amount. Tim?
Tim Walz is just going to sit there and smile. Like a goob.
Yeah. Yeah. And clap. It'd be great if he was the studio audience. Yeah! Good answer! Good answer! Like it's Family
Feud.
Good
answer! Good answer!
Good job, Kamala. You answered all the questions.
Brian says, please clap. I don't... Could it be good? Could the interview tonight be good?
No.
Could it be good for her?
No.
Not possible.
I don't think so.
No way?
The best she could do is average. So I can't see how people walk away from this going, wow, she really nailed that.
Yeah, but what is the bar for her? Because if the bar is low and she does average, it's going to look amazing.
I don't know what the bar is. There is no bar. She's done nothing. There's nothing to compare it to. All the stuff she's done is old. This is the first thing she's done.
Yeah, but if the bar is what she set for herself in those old interviews, eesh.
The thing of it that I am confused about and very intrigued to see what happens is the campaign is to not talk about policy. That's the campaign. Donald Trump, bad. Kamala Harris, joyful. And in an interview, the reason why people want an interview is because they want the deets. They want to know what's going to happen. And she's stepped into that a couple of times, and she really stepped into it when she did it. So she's got, at the same time, communist-like policies and Trump's policies. Where do you go? What are you going to do? Are you going to mix them up? Are you going to draw them out of a hat? How do you, how do you do that? I don't know how she's going to manage that, because it really feels like if she goes hard into the communist thing, socialist thing, that's going to take a lot of Americans off or convince a lot of Americans that what they worried about her, that's actually going to be the case. Or I don't think that she can come out and be like, the border's a huge problem. It should have been closed a long time ago. We didn't do that, or we needed to do a better job of it. So I think we should close the border and build a wall and have a bunch of lefties be like, hooray. I don't think that happens either.
Yeah, that's why she's in the spot that she's in. That's why she's not doing interviews. What she's doing tonight will be 3 days worth of training to say nothing. It'll be platitudes about, you know, the type of campaign they're running, what they're looking forward to, the feelings that they've been getting from voters across America. Let me read you a letter from young Lucy Jenkins. Like, that kind of crap.
A handwritten letter from Tucker.
Yeah. But, I mean, those are the two things that I listed are the two possibilities of what happens, but I'm glad, Scoot, thanks. SVD here says there's one other thing that could possibly happen, and he puts out here his comment, says, and he has at the end of this in parentheses, sarcasm. So he's saying this sarcastically, lifting kids out of poverty. That's hilarious. Well, why the hell are they in poverty? Why did you do that 4 years ago? Why didn't you do that when you've been in the administration leading the charge? Why are they in poverty? If you could fix it, why didn't you fix it? So thank you, Scoot. I did drop the ball, because she is going to have to figure out how she determines what is a Harris presidency and how is it different than a Biden presidency? That would be the first question that I would be asking.
That's why it's going to be so tough.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun day tomorrow. We're going to have like 18 minutes worth of material.
And we're going to make it last for 3 hours.
For 3 hours. Tune in.
The YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you know anyone who may switch parties when voting for president? Ryan, do you?
I do not.
You don't know anybody?
I don't.
Brad?
I haven't talked to anybody about it, so no.
I do. I know somebody who, I know two people who are considering voting for Donald Trump or not voting at all versus their traditional vote for Democrats. With 300 votes in today's YouTube live chat poll, 67% of you said no, but that's interesting that about 100 people say, yeah, they do know people who were voting different. I'm actually pretty encouraged by a 33% number in this poll. Thank you for listening today. Keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk or on the Odyssey app, because Mark Reardon takes it from here. I'm not-